Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, here we are for another day of taking a look at Paul's journeys. And as we left off yesterday, he arrived back at Antioch. He sailed back to Antioch, and it's about 49 AD or so. And so as I mentioned yesterday, I told you I would show you that verse that I had mentioned yesterday about Gaius. Just so I bring that up real quick. And well, first let's open a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we get to spend in your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So that verse I was mentioning is in Acts 20, verse 3. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria. Oh, that's not it. Maybe it was 4. 1 second, please. Yeah, it was 4. One verse off. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sophia of Berea, and of Thessalonians, Archaeus and Secundus, and his apartment I was mentioning, and Gaius of Derbe. So we can see that he was from Derbe. We'll get to this part of Acts at a later date, but just wanted to show you where I got that. I promise you yesterday I would show you that verse. So for today, we're in Acts 15. And basically what's happened is that, as we'll see in these first few verses, that there's been a controversy over the Jews are wanting to, because Gentiles are starting to enter the church, the Jews are saying that they have to follow the law and be circumcised. And so it's quite a controversy. So starting off and reading in 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, saying, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Where therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So we're at Antioch at the moment, and Paul and Barnabas are called down to Jerusalem. And being brought on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. May come back to that tomorrow and talk a little bit about those two cities, particularly Samaria, because we remember the story of Jesus when he spoke to the woman at the well. You can see here, even as Paul, you know, we're now like... a good 20 years later, looks like Samaria is growing strong in the faith. So it's good to see here in Acts that that's still going strong. And if you're somebody like me that likes following this particular TV show about called The Chosen, you might check that out, because it's something that they ended the last season with, the visit to Samaria. Kind of an interesting note. We'll move on. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. So they basically did a review of what things had been going on during their first trip. Now we'll come to verse 5 here. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. I find it a little interesting here, though, that the Pharisees are actually starting to think about the fact that they're going to allow Gentiles in to worship with them. That first caught my mind. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And I just have a few verses I'm going to read that I found on this topic of circumcision, and one of them was from Jesus himself. And I like this verse only because for a lot of different reasons. It's actually three verses. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you are all marveled. It's not strictly about circumcision, but I really like this verse. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day will circumcise a man. But if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man ever wit whole on the Sabbath day? And this is the verse I really like. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And I think that's important. When I looked this verse up, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Good verse to remember, that to be careful what we call as being not holy. Anyways, back to Acts. So in 15:7, I just thought I'd mention too that here we are. You know, I think a lot about these first missionaries traveling then was not the easiest task. Again, I mentioned it before, Antioch to Jerusalem, that was 300 miles. And as far as we can tell, they didn't have any mode of transportation except their feet. There's some talk that maybe they had some horses, but there's no proof of that in the Bible that indicates that they actually rode horses. So here at 15:7, when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And this is Peter's little speech. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying them, their hearts, by faith. At this point, I'll just two more verses. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? This is still Peter talking. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And I just thought I'd do a quick review of what we were talking, what Peter was talking about when he was mentioning that. If you go back to Acts 10:9, just a couple of verses to freshen our memory. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This is a famous vision, and I think a lot of us remember. And they saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter came back and said, No, so not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And I think what Peter is reflecting on here in Acts 15 is the fact that he was showed by God that just because we might think that the Gentiles might be somebody that's not a Jew, but we have to accept them in that because God has said that they are clean and they should be and they're allowed to be among us. So I think that's an important aspect to remember that I've heard people in the past try to say that Paul wasn't approved of by the disciples, and I brought that in because I wanted to reiterate that during this council at Jerusalem, we're going to see here in a minute, not only Peter, but James is going to also step in, which is the Lord's brother, and defend the fact that Gentiles have just as much right as the Jews do. And so we'll continue on here in Acts 15. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barabbas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God hath wrought among the Gentiles by them. So now at least everybody's listening. And after they had held their peace, this is where James steps up. James answers, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residual of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Knowing unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that be troubled not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." And for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So I'm going to end there for this time. They go on, and I'll come back to this again tomorrow a little bit, because they're going to a little more to it. But that's pretty much the counsel and the defense of allowing the Gentiles in and not to force them to have to conform to Jewish standards. And I think that's the part, the main emphasis of this council was that that they were not to push Jewish law on the Gentiles because they love the law just as much, and that even the Jews admit that some of the laws that of the old most from Moses were hard to keep. And because Jesus died on the cross for us and brought in the dispensation of grace, that yes, it's, I think it's important to follow and try the best they can to do what's right and to follow a lot of the commandments that, as we know, Jesus even himself reiterated that he wasn't here to change the law, but to fulfill it. But I guess end with one note that. I was actually going to do this a little earlier, because as Paul and Barabbas were coming into Jerusalem, I found this really neat. It's like a artist's rendition of what Jerusalem probably looked like at that time frame, right around 50 AD, around Paul's time. The temple hadn't been destroyed yet, and I find it pretty impressive when you look at Jerusalem, how much of it was actually the temple. So I can imagine that that part, you know, where Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that, you know, the apostles were all amazed at the temple and how it looked. And Jesus turns around and says, "Well, it's going to be destroyed, folks. So get ready for that." And, of course, we know he was trying to indicate that the temple he was talking about was him, but that... that was the scene they saw probably as they came over the hill, that massive temple. And so that's it for today. And tomorrow we'll continue a little bit more on this council in Jerusalem. And they'll be heading back up to Jerusalem, I mean back up to Antioch afterwards. But we'll close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your message, and thank you so much that that you allowed everyone, the whole world, to know and love you, and to know your Son, and that maybe all can find you in their hearts to accept you, accept Jesus as a Savior, and to become part of the family of God. Thank you, Lord, so much for this day, and may you give blessings to all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, you have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.